I'm being recorded. I used to work in countries where you would be worried about being recorded, I can tell you. When I first went to Romania, I was always in the same room in the hotel, and I could never quite work out why, until somebody said, oh, the foreigners are always put in that room, that's where the microphones are. Must have been very boring for whoever was listening. But anyway, prayer. It's a scary subject to talk about, is prayer. Because when you stand up here and you talk about prayer, people are looking at you and presumably expecting me to be the expert, you know, good at it. And I'm not sure I am, to be honest. Chris said earlier, you know, some people can pray and pray and pray. Is that the way it's done? I'm not sure. Is it measured by God in sort of length of prayer or volume of prayer? I don't know. But I'm going to do my best to have a look at prayer in the context of getting us ready for our mission. And it's very much in the context of getting us ready. Bear that in mind, all right? Although we are praying for other people, we are actually preparing ourselves. So, that being the introduction, what do we know? We've been looking at some verses in Matthew chapter 9, and we read this. Then Jesus went into all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few." And this is the key for this morning. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. It's an interesting one to me, that, because Jesus has already been working with the group that he's talking to at this point, his disciples. That's who he's speaking to. And he says, the harvest is there. It's abundant. But you've got to pray for workers. So, again, what do we know? What we know is that God has already been at work because the harvest is abundant. And that wasn't a statement that applied only in Jesus' time. It is still true. But do we believe it?
Yes.
That's the challenge. Thank you. Somebody said yes. I got a response. It's always encouraging. Make sure you're not asleep. Yeah, God has been and is at work. That's what we must grasp hold of this morning. Because there's a lot in the world that makes us disbelieve that, don't you think? We see evil. We see things going wrong. We see people making a mess of their lives. We make a mess of our lives. And yet we must believe that God is at work. He's not asleep. He's not sort of waiting. He's not a doctor in the surgery waiting for the, you know, for you to turn up. God is at work. Now it's true. Jesus saw people as they really are, weary and worn out like a sheep without a shepherd. And actually, if we train ourselves a little bit, or if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us a little bit more, we will see them in the same way. And that isn't always obvious either. Although if you listen, if you just listen, I'm a very nosy person. As my wife will tell you, I love to listen in on other people's conversations. And these days, it's easy. Because people even walk along with the phone like this, don't they? And you can hear it all. You didn't used to be able to do that because you couldn't hear the other end, but you can now. Listen to what people are saying to each other. So much of it is sad. I told her, I said, now look, let's get... It's all that stuff. Have you noticed? It's all this, all the time. So are they weary? They're weary of something. That's what I'd say. Often their husbands, I suspect, from the conversations I listen in on. But they're weary. They're worn out. Now, Jesus was talking in a very rural setting, and he says, like sheep without a shepherd. And we've been encouraged over the last few weeks to look with compassion at the people we see around us, to see how they really are, but not to be sneaky. You see, Jesus wasn't saying, well, we'll sneak up to them because they're weak and weary. They're susceptible to us now. That wasn't Jesus' intention, was it, at all? He had compassion on them. He loved them. He wanted to help them. He wanted them to be free from their weariness and their depressed state. So all of that. But why did he ask his disciples to pray? And why do we need to pray? See, Jesus still sees the weary, doesn't he? He still sees people worn down. He sees us when we're in that condition. So, is God not aware? You know, is he not aware that workers are needed? Do we need to point it out to him? Excuse me, Father, but there's not enough people. Well, it's hard to believe, isn't it, that that's true, that God's not aware of what's going on. And does God the Father not have the same compassion as his Son and see them weak and weary? And again, do we need to change God's mind in some way? Is that why we're praying? Well, I do believe that when people repent, somehow God's mind is changed. We saw that when we were looking at Jonah, didn't we? He will change his mind. Maybe just what's going to happen changes because of our prayer. God does move in a different way if people repent. But we can be quite sure that God's mind is set on the path of salvation. God is at work, and we are asked, we are told, in fact, by Jesus, to pray. Pray for workers. So let's look at that a little bit more. Jesus tells us to pray because if we pray for workers to go, then we're committed to dealing with the results of their going. It's a clumsy way. I couldn't think of a better way of putting this. In other words, we're encouraged to pray because if the harvest is plentiful and if people are converted, come to Christ, find salvation, find the answer to their weariness and their wornness, that's going to make a difference to us. And we are told to pray. I'm going to trip over that before the end of the morning. That will give you something to laugh at. We are encouraged to pray to tune in to what is going on, to get involved. Jesus wants us to pray so that we're invested in the success of the harvest. You see, we need to be talking to God about what is going on. The easy way with anything is to hire somebody and get them to do something for you, right? You don't need to be invested in that at all. If I hire a plumber to come and fix my drains, that's not an investment for me, is it? I only get involved with that if I find out what's gone wrong. If I talk to the plumber and say, what am I doing wrong? And he says, it's because of all that oil you're pouring down the drains. You've got a fatberg down there, or whatever it is that forms. You become invested in it. And God wants us to be involved, to be invested, to be in touch with what's going on. But be warned. I put a warning up there. Be warned. If we pray, it's possible that we will be one of those sent by God the Father. See? And that's a bit scary too, isn't it? We might be asked to talk to somebody about Jesus. We might be asked to share with somebody about Jesus. And the devil has this way of making that far scarier than it is. Don't you think? I mean, we'll talk to people. Mason talks to people about golf, and 80% of them are bored to tears. I know, because I talk to people about golf and I can see the glazed look on people's faces. People ask us, how was our trip to Portugal? They can engage a little bit if we say it rained almost every day, which it did. It's there on the screen. That's why I put it up in the background. It rained almost every day. But if I talk to you about the golf, glaze. It's not really scary if Jesus is active in our lives, is it? Shouldn't be. It's wonderful. How old am I? Oh, yeah, I'm 73 this year, but I can still remember telling my friend at school that I'd fallen in love. I didn't quite use those words. I was a boy. You don't do that, right? But I did tell him how I'd met that one over there and how she was the one. He wasn't bored. He didn't glaze over. He just thought I was completely stupid at the age of 17 to be saying this stuff, right? What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're asked to go, if you pray, and God says, yes, thanks for your prayer, now go. We're talking about somebody who loves us and we love. We find that quite natural about our partners. Why don't we find it just as natural about the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, prayer is not an alternative to action. It is the action that we are called to. We are called to pray. So, how do we pray? Let's have a little look at that. I put a couple of thoughts down on there about how we might pray. First of all, saying to God, we believe that you're working here, and we've tried our best to look with compassion. That would be one way of starting, I suggest. We know that you've looked at them with compassion and that you've already started to work with them. And we want you to send people to the harvest. Now, here's the challenge, right? We've already had a little bit of practice this morning. Thank you, Chris. So we're going to pray. You are going to pray. But there are no rewards for long prayers. Okay. I stood here once a few weeks ago and said, pray in one sentence. That's hard. But I'm going to ask you to do it again. We're going to have a few. I've put the prompts up there. So we are going to pray for workers to go out into the harvest field and bring folks in. Give it a try. One sentence. Who's going to start us?
Heavenly Father, we've been thinking about our friends and family, and we want you to help us to do what you want us to do for them. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we think of all the names we've written, and we just offer ourselves, Lord. Send us. Amen.
Father, please help us to see other people as you see them, and through them in the eyes of your goodness and your kindness, not through the lens of our own limitations.
Amen. Father, we know that this, as we heard last week, that this is the barn, and out there is the harvest. Help us to go out from the barn into the harvest field with boldness, and to speak of your kingdom without embarrassment or shame.
Father, give us the right words to say to the right people.
Amen. I have a confession to make. I thought about using this thing about harvest and using it as a metaphor and thinking about what we might see out there in the harvest. So I sort of tried to think, what do I know about harvesting? I'm supposed to know because I'm this rural person who speaks with a funny accent. So I wrote it down. What do I know about harvesting? Well, amongst all the ripe crops, you separate and select the ripest. The farmer must cut the stalks by hand or with a machine. The crop must be threshed to release the fruit from the useless stalks. The fruit and the stalks are separated, and the stalks are burned or used for animal bedding. The precious grains are stored in a specially designed place that is clean and dry, and oftentimes pesticides are added to protect the crop from harm. There you are. That's what I know about harvesting. And I thought, if I use that as a metaphor, that's great. Because I can talk about, we'll go out there and we'll look for the ripest crop. And we'll cut it. And we'll burn the stalks. And I thought, oh, that's great. I'm talking about burning people. That'll go down well. And then we'll bring them into a specially designed place. And I thought, there you go. Queensway, a specially designed place. And it's clean. And then I thought, and then we'll spray everybody with pesticides. And that will sort out all the immorality, because they'll be infertile anyway when we get pesticides out, and it will be fine. And I thought, no, I think I'm stretching the metaphor just a bit too far. And was that what Jesus was talking about? I mean, was he really sort of comparing people to wheat fields? And I thought, no, I think you got that wrong, Chris. I don't think this works very well. It got a laugh. That's about the best thing it could do. So what's it all about then? What do we know about God's harvest? What was Jesus talking about? Well, human beings, that's what he was talking about. They're not the same with grains and wheat. And I think it's a mistake to focus on the analogy of the big field of cereals out there. For a start, in Jesus' time, there wouldn't have been big fields. When I was younger, there was this habit of farmers to go bigger and bigger with fields of wheat. They mowed down the hedgerows, they took out the walls, fields became hundreds, if not thousands, of acres big, and the combines got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I thought, is that what it's about? Is that what Jesus is saying? And I don't think he is. Jesus saw people, sheep without a shepherd, worn down. So what are we praying about when we pray the harvest is abundant? What's Jesus want to say? Well, if you think about a flock of sheep, there might be 100. Certainly in Scripture there are 100, aren't there? Because there's 99 that stay with the shepherd and one that gets lost. Okay? So there's about 100 of those. I guess that's quite a big flock of sheep. I was watching a program on TV recently, I think it was Country Farm, and a guy had 200 or 300 sheep and they were up on the hills and he had to go and collect them and bring them down and all of that stuff. So you can count sheep. So, but wheat, you weigh wheat. You don't count it because it's abundant. So I think what Jesus was saying to his followers then and what he's saying to us now is think big. Don't be content with just thinking about 1, 2, 3, 4. We've been encouraged with our little form of Frank's people we're praying for to think 6, isn't it? I think we're 6 faces on the form. Perhaps we should have had a bigger form. Or we just pray for our 6, but then maybe we needed a little box in the bottom and for all the others that the other people are praying for. To get that idea of just how abundant the harvest is in Jesus' view, in God's view. God wants us to think big, the way he thinks. So, going back to praying again then. How do we pray? Well, we're going to start by thanking God, as we did just now. Pray that we can see what God sees. I was trying to be as practical as I could about this idea of praying for workers to go into the harvest, because it seemed to me if you're going to pray this every day, you could get a little bit bored with it and run out of a few ideas as to how you do it. God send workers. God send workers. God send workers. You know, I mean, it just gets a little bit. So what are we doing? We've got to try and get that vision of the way God is seeing our world. Thank God that he's preparing the harvest. Pray that you can see what God sees. Pray that others will recognize the work of God. Pray that all of us will be willing to go to work. Pray that God will grant the special skills to all that he sends. Pray that those God selects will hear his instructions, even if that is me. Pray that we will become ready. Sorry, we will all be ready to welcome the harvest home. Those are my suggestions of how we pray about workers going out into the harvest field during our mission period. And then I suppose I should have added at the end, and don't stop praying. Harvests, it depends on your country, really. In this country, basically, was 2 times of harvesting, I guess. But in other countries, multiple harvests. Are we thinking that it all stops on April the 6th? You know, is that the right date? Did I get that right? Yeah, I think so. It's roughly that. I'm looking at Rachel and she's going blank. Does it all stop then? I mean, if the harvest is abundant, it can't, can it? And does it have to wait till March the whatever it is, 24th or something like that, to start? I don't think it does either. So we've got to think more, have that vision that God has given us. We were encouraged a few weeks ago, you put out these tent pegs, you widened the scope of the tent. Think of this place just for a minute, if I might give you a little history lesson. I'll walk forward a little bit. When it was first built, it was about from where I am. It stopped over there and that was it. And then
that lot out there was built, and then that bit, and this bit was built. Is that enough? I think the only other way to go is up, by the way, because, you know, the planners will want parking. It's not about buildings, and it's not about numbers, it's about people. But how big are you willing to capture God's vision? Do you see an abundant harvest? Because it's very hard to pray about workers going into something that you can't see, I think. So it's really important when we first start to pray that we get this vision from God, and I pray that we can do that. We are going to have another little time of prayer because we need to be practical about this. I encourage you to pray. A few more pointers, see how you get on.
I pray that you will help us to be willing to change plans if necessary, to be available for your work here. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, give us wisdom of the best ways of how we can reach out to people that need you. Lord, give us the words and the right words to say to them. And Lord, give us encouragement to go forward to be able to do this for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thank you for going before me to prepare the hearts and minds of my loving friends. Now, Father, give me the courage to speak the gospel to you.
Amen. I want to encourage you to move forward with confidence, because you should know that you've already started to pray. This is going back now about 6 months, I think, when we had our go-cards. I meant to bring one this morning and didn't. Sorry about that. The little card that said, go. Don't worry, Jim. Don't worry. We're encouraged to pray this prayer every day. And I'm going to encourage us to pray it together now. So, thank you, Lord, that I am sent today by you. Show me today those that you have sent me to. Lord, today help me to show your love through an act of kindness and love in Jesus' name. Lord, help me to speak to someone about Jesus today, so that they may come to know you too. Amen. And then we had our harvest prayer as well, because it was about gathering. And last week you were thinking, this is the barn, but the future of our church and all the church worldwide is not in the barn, it's out there. So we were encouraged to pray this. Join with me. Lord, may I be a disciple who loves to gather with your church. Help us to be centered on Jesus and committed to one another. Help us to connect with our community, sharing Jesus with those around us. Help me to fully play my part for your glory. Amen. Sorry about the typo in the middle of that. I hope that you have seen through this morning that we have started this prayer process. We are continuing the prayer process with praying for those on our Frank's list, but that we can be confident that God is the one that's really started this process. I am challenged, I will confess to you, to think that there are tens, hundreds, thousands of people out there around us waiting to have the gospel explained to them. I'm challenged to believe that. But that says more about me than anything else. It doesn't say anything about God, because all things are possible with God. Amen. What we, and what I'm trying to say to you, is to expand your horizons through prayer. Pray for the faith to see and believe that there is an abundant harvest of people needing and wanting salvation. Pray for the vision to know that God has workers skilled and available to go. Pray for a willingness to be one of those who goes. Believe and pray that God will provide all the energy and skill that you will need if he sends you. All the energy, all the skill, all the wisdom. Jesus said in 9:23, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. Everything is possible for the people who believe. That's what we should know this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Would you like me to announce the final hymn?
Yeah.
Shall I go with that? So we're going to sing a song now. I love this song. It's from Wren Collective. It's called Rescuer. It's got a good beat, but that's not why I love it. I love the message that comes through. God is the rescuer. Amen.
He's out.